Jonas Smedegaard is here, and he will talk about Freedom Box. I think everybody of you heard already at least once about Freedom Box. So, Jonas, tell them more about this small box in everybody's home, with which gives us a lot of freedom.
Thank you. Well, I could start out testing that out. How many of you have heard about Freedom Box? Or maybe the opposite is, anybody not heard about Freedom Box before? Okay, fine. That's a third. Excellent. So, I plan to tell a little about the background of why do this at all, and then I will tell about what it is, and the status of how far are we with the project, and what about the future. So, I will go very quick. I guess every one of you have heard about what is the internet and what is the World Wide Web, right? Good. So, there is something about the internet that once upon a time, there was free flowing information and everybody was happy. And then there was some streamlining of the internet and not everything was so happy, not everything, or not all of the resources was equally fairly distributed between people. And the problem of these structures of the modern internet as we use it today is that all eggs are in one basket, you could say. If we were communicating directly with each other as we are mingling in a room, if we're physically together, well, then if one of us got sick, then maybe the others had the information. When a lot of the social dynamics is more robust that way. But if you're structuring things centrally, then you're relying on one central point. I think most of you have heard, if not all of you have heard this meme before at this conference. And then we are some people who are trying to make a thing that should be able to change the game, change the rules of this game. So the idea of the Freedom Box is that the Freedom Box is close to you and it can help regain some of the old structure of direct connections between the end nodes, getting around these central points. What I put up on the talk was to say that it's a nice little home server putting you in charge of your own data. Doesn't really say much about what it is. What I then thought about was, well, this one, in my opinion, tells much more exactly what is Freedom Box about, still without saying shit about what it is. But let me try. So, it's for users. It's for computer users. This is a bad example, because this is me 8 years ago. This is what I call a geek. A geek is someone who knows his way around a computer himself. He can rip it apart if he wants to, and he can take an iron and he can change all the bits and stuff. He can do magic to the thing. That's not the kind of user I'm talking about. I'm also a user of computers, but I'm like a super user or something. So, not this guy. But maybe this guy, it's also me. It's me some years ago, before I started playing with my Commodore 64. This is more like the user. The point of this is, it's the average user, it's not the super user. There's one problem here. That's better. My point of this is, I'm not talking about superheroes either. I'm not talking about people who are saving the world. And that's actually quite important for the Freedom Box project, because there's a lot of people who are hearing about the Freedom Box project and then they're saying, yes, that's exactly what we need. We need some weaponry to save the world for all of these freedom fighters. But I must disappoint you if that's what you were hoping for. The Freedom Box is not a freedom fighter box. A Freedom Box is a box for ordinary, simple folks. All of the people who can't do it themselves, all this geeky stuff, and all of the people who are not running out and standing on the barricades and fighting for us. It's for the rest of us. It's for my brothers. It's for my sister, it's for my father. And it's for, hopefully, some of you. So what is it? The Freedom Box is a digital servant. I'm trying to avoid the word server here, because if you talk to normal folks and say it's a server, then they immediately think about this huge machinery and very noisy, but it's not. It's a little box, but the functionality is that it is serving. It is delivering information, it is listening, waiting for some connections to happen, and then it's just responding to that. It's doing very simple stuff, but it's doing it on behalf of you. So in a way you could say it's a virtual butler. Let's call him Robert. My mother, when she had a typewriter, an electronic typewriter many years ago, then she told me that she had baptized her typewriter Søren. Søren is a very normal Danish name, and the reason for that was that when she was furious about the typewriter not doing what she wanted to do, she could curse at the typewriter because it had a name. And this is the kind of thing that is silly in my mind, and it also was when my mother was telling me this. It was like, why the fuck are you calling your typewriter a name? It doesn't matter. You know, it's just a box, right? But the point here is that this box is not for me. This box is for people who are not thinking technically about their boxes. So what can it do? Well, it can do the same things that you are already doing. Well, if you can do chatting, you can do email, you can do phone connections, you can do these daily things that you're doing with your computer when you're connecting on the internet. The Freedom Box doesn't do anything new. The point of the Freedom Box is that it tries to do it without a central point. Okay, I'm losing myself a little bit here. So, one of the key features of Freedom Box is that it is caring about your privacy. And privacy here is, and again, I'm trying to get ahead of misunderstandings. Privacy is not secrecy. Privacy is not that you have something you want to hide for the whole world. Privacy is that you are in control of when and how you are publishing things, to whom. So if you might have a diary that you want to keep secret and only write for yourself, write some notes that only you can go back to later on. But you might also want to publish some information for the whole world. You might write a blog entry. And then you want the whole world to read this blog. But even with a completely public thing like a blog, there's still a lot of things happening around the blog, like who is visiting the blog? When are they visiting this blog? There's no need for you to have other people tracking who is visiting your blog. That's your concern. It's private. So even this, the information that you publish is public, there's a lot of things around it that is private. I mean, who is visiting you at your home? That's private information. Who are others to know about that? Nobody should be tracking you and who are your visitors. So the essential thing of a Freedom Box is to say that we keep the logs at home, physically in your own home. The project started by Eben Moglen, the guy who also was very active in formulating the DPL version 3, and have been working with the GNU project for many years. And in America, the home is sacred. So in America, it's especially important that you place the machine in your own home, because the police and, I don't know, if also the army, well, others cannot go into your home without having a warrant. Some countries it might be different, so it might not be perfect match everywhere in the world. But we're starting out with this core logic of saying, well, it's better to have it physically in your own home than having it anywhere digital. Even in your own pocket, people in some countries, the police can stop you and say, we have to have whatever is in your pocket. There's not the same rules for your pockets as there is in your own home in the States and maybe somewhere else. So the machine is a server. It's running the activities that you would do normally but it running it, the things from your own home. So what to run in your own home, it must be interesting for you to run it in your own home. So it should be very small. Shouldn't be one of these big tower things that you have seen from the 70s. It shouldn't be noisy. It shouldn't gobble up a lot of electricity. And it should be cheap to buy. So if you imagine some of these boxes that you already have to get your internet connection, you have one of these black or white or yellow boxes sitting in a corner with a plug inside of it. And it's just turned on and you never think about it anymore. That's your internet connection, your DSL line. A similar size box as this one, but it's just doing a little bit more. It could look like this. This is one of the first examples of the kind of hardware that we're putting these technologies into. This is technically it's an ARM device. It's running 2 watts, approximately. Actually, the prototype we are using now is this one. So this is the physical box that we are now playing with and making these things work. You can pass it around if you like. And maybe when we end up with something that we want to sell or we have other people sell, then it might look like this. This is not one of the Freedom Box projects. This is actually a phone that some guys have been tinkering with, and this is the DGA 4, someone making a shell for that in wood. So it could be one way of convincing non-technical users that it would be fun, interesting to run their own servers at home, would be to say, well, hey, you can have it in a wood box. So what does it do? It does boring stuff. That's what a server does. Really, really boring stuff. It's just sitting there in a corner, the same way as your DSL box. Technically, what it does is the same thing. From the user point of view, it does the same thing as you are already used to. You're checking mail, you are chatting, you are reading things on the web, you are maybe writing some things to the web. It does the exact same things, but it just does it more trustworthy because it's designed to care about keeping the information at your home instead of not caring about that and then maybe sharing it with Google, maybe sharing it with Facebook, maybe someone else. From a geek point of view, it's the same, just without the cables hanging out. The thing is, this box, in order to be caring about your privacy, well, it also needs to not have one of our geeks remote control it and make sure that it works. I've been running email servers for my close friends for many, many years. And some of them, the ones that don't care about the privacy issues of Facebook and Google, they also don't care about me hosting their emails. But some of them, they're stepping back and say, whoa, you can read all my emails. I would rather that Google read my emails because they don't know me. So that's, to me, that's crazy. I don't want to share private information with total strangers. I would rather have my mother or my brother share that information because I trust them to not, in reality, read my emails. But some of my friends, they say, well, hey, if someone reads my email, I would rather that it be some total stranger than it be you. So if we want to have a freedom box, if we want to have a box that really cares about people's privacy, we also cannot ourselves, us geeks, we cannot say, and by the way, I just have to update it. I have to fix a little comma error or something. There can be no one else than yourself running this box. And by definition, it's not a geek user, so by definition, you don't know how to fix problems on this box. So the box cannot have any cables hanging out. It cannot have anything sloppy. It just needs to work all the time by itself. So as one of my colleagues sitting here, Phil, he said yesterday, well, it's already done. The box is here. Well, the physical box, the box that we're playing with, is already here. You can buy it in some shops in America, and they also distribute it to England and some other places. So you can buy this box, and this box works with Debian today. And our project is based on Debian. So, well, you just buy the box and install Debian, and you're all done. Period. But that's not really all. The box should not need any new smart things. The only thing I'm missing some parts here. I still haven't told what is really the box. The idea technically with the Freedom Box is that it runs exactly the same services, exactly the same code, technical code, as geeks have been running for many years. Things like PGP and SSH and encryption of TLS and SSL certificates on the web browser websites, things like that, means for protecting that only the persons you are communicating with can follow what is going on. Nobody else can listen in on conversations. Structures so that when you store information, like log files, that you store them where you have control over the log files. Geeks are used to run servers and place the log files correctly and set up the access rights correctly, but we are not used to do it in a way that it runs by itself. We are used, because we can tinker with things, it doesn't really matter. We find it fun to tinker with them from day to day. Every day, I find it fun to check on my servers every day. It's like having a pet of 15 pets running in my backyard. But so it's technically it's the same kinds of tools. We just need to wrap them so that they're when they're running, when they're set up, we freeze that and then we put it into a box. So Freedom Box is boxing the freedom aware tools. So it's not, again, there's a even some of us that are developing it are switching this a little bit and thinking, well, we need to invent some new technologies in order to be better at protecting freedoms and also be better at making things a better experience, like Facebook. When you look at Facebook, it can do some nice things, some interactivity and some guessing of who is your friends and all of these things that geeks haven't done for the last 10 years. It's new inventions. Freedom Box is not about that. Freedom Box is not about inventing anything new, in principle. We need to invent a little bit in order to freeze what we are doing, because we can't tinker with the box after we give it to you, to our non-geeks friends. But generally, we should not invent anything new. It should just be the same old boring stuff, but user-friendly. So, when you write code, first you write the code and then you test that it actually works what you invented, and then you play with it, use it, and if it really does what it says on the box, what you had thought about, then you recommend it to others. You publish it and you say, please play with my code and use it and come with bug reports and pat my shoulders and stuff. And similarly, when you're writing a computer system, a whole system, a distribution, as in Debian, you do the same. First you create the pieces, the building blocks for the distribution, and then you test it, and then you try use it, and if it's good, then you recommend it to others. Why do I say this? Because with Freedom Box, we need the thing to be super stable. So we need the things that we ship to our friends, we need to have tested it before. We should only put things into the box that we dare use ourselves. And when looking at the status of Freedom Box today, unfortunately, we are not that far. We don't have anything to put in the box that is user-friendly that we have tested ourselves. So we're still working on getting Freedom Box. We have been working on it for 3 years. And the one main thing that we haven't worked on at all is taking existing things and shrink wrapping it to be user-friendly. It's evidently extremely hard for geeks to put away our own itches to scratch and dive into an area that is relevant for our closest friends. What I think is the one of the reasons for that is that the people working with FreedomBox is looking at the project as being a system administration project. That when you, this is how a system administrator working on a computer system, typically, they take the Debian or Red Hat or Fedora distribution, install it on a computer, and then start tuning it, adapting it to your local needs. And then, from a system administrator point of view, if you then want to have it on more machines, if you want to have it on the whole world for all the freedom boxes, then you make a snapshot on something that looks good and works good, and then you distribute the snapshot on a CD-ROM or on the web or something. But what we really need to do, am I really talking about the same thing as I'm showing? Okay. what you really need to do is you need to step one, step back and work with the distribution itself and make sure that the distribution is really robust and can do flexibly the kind of things that you need to do. If you want to install a web server and have the web server serve two different services, a chat service and a blog service, then as a system administrator, you would install the server and then you would download the pages for your website, and then you would adjust the setup of the server to work together. But we can't do that with FreedomBox. We need to have everything part of the system, integrated directly with the system, so that later on, if we find a security bug, we can tell the system to upgrade to a newer version that works out of the box still. We have no system administrator that can make sure that things work when you upgrade. There can be no bumps on the road. The FreedomBox, the project that we're working on now, is based on Debian. Some of us is already developing Debian, and some of us are new to Debian, but all of us are agreeing that we're basing this on Debian and making Debian support this FreedomBox functionality. But there's nothing wrong with creating the same kind of structures for other distributions. The concept of FreedomBox is not tied to Debian. It's not something that we have a patent on or something. So the principles of putting freedom-aware tools into a box, making them user-friendly. It would be magnificent if people would take the same idea and apply it to different computer systems, different distributions. And in my opinion, even if the FreedomBox project never reaches a state where you can say, you can actually use this, I can give this to my brothers. We can already see now from these past 3 years that the work we have done and the discussions we have had have sparked a lot of different improvements in the area of awareness of cryptography and in improving the tools so that they are more user-friendly. We just haven't reached our specific goal. So I'm leaning back a little bit and saying, well, okay, we might not ever have the FreedomBox specifically, but we will have improvements in the area that FreedomBox is covering. That's it.
Thanks a lot, Jonas. Are there any questions?
Do you have a list of services which run on FreedomBox? Web services?
The list of services, you can see it on by looking at what is in Debian.
Okay, the same ones. Are they custom fit for FreedomBox?
Huh?
Is there a custom build or something? Build for FreedomBox?
As part of the development of FreedomBox, there is a custom dump snapshot of someone who has been tinkering on top of Debian, and if you're interested in looking into what these persons that are tinkering on top of Debian have chosen to put on to this box, then we have the wiki link here. There's a link to the downloads for you can have the newest version of the snapshot and look at what are the pieces there. As far as I remember, none of those user-facing pieces are actually packaged for Debian. So it's other things than the things that I was thinking of putting into this freedom box, because I only, in my rules, it would be everything must be in Debian.
Any further questions? Ah, there.
Hi there. I saw your talk also, not your talk, a talk about Freedom Box at FOSDEM. And I would really like to know how is the milestone, what's the procedure, how you are going to proceed with Freedom Box, because I see it's a bit stuck. And there are many people that they would like to help, maybe in design also, or in development, okay, there are some developments too, but you know, I mean, I tried to communicate about Freedom Box, and I had quite many difficulties with people to make them understand what this is about. I mean, and I'm sorry, but also this talk lacked somehow like the features that Freedom Box are going to have, or that they are planned, or so. Can you give us some more insights?
Of course.
Of what is going to be, of what is going to be accepted, of what SAL, the users, the non-geek users, are going to wait from it.
Thanks for steering me on the parts that I haven't put slides up for, no, I haven't prepared. That's good. As I said before, I believe that it does not make sense to ship anything to non-geek people that has not been very thoroughly tested among geeks themselves. And in my logic, that means that we can only ship to our friends what is already in Debian. Because Debian is a, not the only, but it is a structure that can hold and ensuring that boxes are fixed and boxes are being checked and the quality of code is being checked out. So I keep saying this, and in my opinion, when you're asking how can we help, what is the plan? Then what the plan for me is relatively simple, but it is the pieces that you believe that you see. Whoa, this belongs in such a box for my friends. Check if it's already in Debian, and if it is, then check if it's on our list of things that we think is on the first step to get into the box when it's running. And if it isn't, then jump onto our mailing list and discuss that and say, hey, I suggest this should be part of the Freedom Box for these reasons. If it isn't in Debian, then file a bug report against Debian and say, this piece of code is missing in Debian and it's crucial for Debian, for Freedom Box, in my opinion. You don't even need to ask for permission to that. Because even if Freedom Box never agrees, why shouldn't we? But imagine the crazy thing of like, we don't like you and we don't like your ideas of what should be in Freedom Box. Well, it's still very, very useful to have it in Debian and in Red Hat and in Fedora and all of the other ones so that it can be part of a similar project. So, but we cannot have anything put into a box if it's thrown into a box, because that's insane to give to our friends. So it needs to be structured and stabilized before it can go further than that. So one of the sub pages of there's a pile of wiki pages. One of them that I find essential is the one that says something like how do we escape the cloud. It's a list of pieces of code and grouped by what kind of service do they replace from the cloud, and are they in Debian? What is their state of getting into Debian? That page, that wiki page, in my opinion, is the most essential one to see how far are we with the project. What kind of things out there can we actually replace with something that is super stable and boring in Debian? And it's not very much at the moment. But that's not to say that give up, Freedom Box will never be there, and there's no hope for these things. I still believe in Freedom Box, also as a concrete thing. And if all of the efforts are wasted, so to speak. The progress towards it is not lost. They are reusable for other similar purposes. Things like OpenWRT, there was a talk about that just before. OpenWRT can benefit from having things in Debian. So even if FreedomBox is a complete failure, then other free software projects can reuse the preparations for FreedomBox and make their FreedomBox instead of us. So please join our mailing lists. Please speak up. Also, if you're not a technical person, speak up about seeing it from a user point of view, saying, it seems like there's someone talking about some goblin thing over there. Isn't that a FreedomBox thing? I want that in my house. Why isn't it here? I mean, you don't need to be the superhero that can fix things here and do the code. Yeah?
What is the desired situation when a non-geek person buys a FreedomBox and installs it at home? What happens then?
Could you repeat?
What happens when a non-geek person buys a FreedomBox? What is the desired outcome of that? What can he do?
What
should he do, or should it be just transparent for him?
I don't get what you're saying. I don't know if it's... You're asking what the user can do with this box,
yes.
Basically. Okay, yeah. Since there is no services put into a box yet, I cannot tell you exactly concretely, but I can tell you what I had can imagine would be, to me, obvious. I would like to blog, or I would like my friends to blog. I have a girlfriend, she's blogging, she's not a geek. She is using a terminal because I forced her to do it, but okay. I could imagine that I could convince my brothers to also blog on the web. And I would hate that they did it with a blogger.com or a wordpress.com service. And I would love to instead give them or convince them to pay themselves, to buy this box. So what I imagine that they could do is they could buy the box or buy the shell, and then I tell them where's the URL where they can throw in the software for the box and activate the box, and then they can surf into the box the same way as they can surf into WordPress.com. They can surf into the box, and the box says, "Hello, what do you want to do today?" And then you click in, similar to how you do at WordPress.com. I imagine that you could do similar with Identica. Identica was not fundamentally Identica was not designed for everybody to flock at Identica and create an Identica account. Identica is the free equivalent to Twitter. So there is a service out there that is a proof of concept of we can have a free software service for doing Twitter-like things. But the point of that was just a proof of concept. The point, the intention from the inventors of Identica was that now you have seen it, copy it and install it yourself. But most of the people who are tweeting or identifying or whatever they're doing, they can't do that. They cannot copy the code and activate it themselves at their own homes. So I could imagine that this box would be able to address the intention of Identica, that each user can run their own instance of the service. Instead of running WordPress.com, provides the code, it's called WordPress.org, and then you look at the thing and then you run away screaming because you're not a technical person, so you don't know what to do with WordPress.org, where they offer the code for free. And this box would be the platform where you can actually take the code and activate it. No, you can recognize the code at WordPress.org and then you can activate it if Debian have provided packages for it. FreedomBox will not provide you a mechanism so that you can say, whoa, WordPress offers a tool that I want to activate. This other one provides a tool that I want to activate. No, because there needs to be a tight integration also. So it needs to go through Debian, who is then, or Fedora or Red Hat, a distribution who is then making sure that the code and the rest of the system is tightly integrated and reliably upgradable. But in principle, you would have the list and you would look for where is the WordPress button on the Freedom Box.
Can we take email as an example and just maybe explain how you would want the box to handle email? Would the box handle email, and what needs to be done in order to make it setting up of email? I'm using it as an example case.
Yes. Okay. Yeah.
Because that's complicated enough.
Have you ever tried to use Hotmail or Gmail? Or have you heard about these
services? I have my own mail server, but I mean, it's hard to set up. So how would a normal non-geek be able to set up such a complicated thing?
I hear two possible kinds of questions really in what you are asking. Maybe you are asking from a user perspective, how is the experience of using such a service? And the answer to that is similar to Google, of course. Just as smooth and simple as Google. You just go in and say, here I am, give me the email. Click, done. Okay, that was the dream, okay? The other one is, from a system administrator perspective, you know that it's a hell and it's impossible to have it fully automated and not needing you to tinker with your pets every week at least, because of spam, because of registration of domain name, because of MX record and backup, and there's a lot of details in this. Well, and then you're asking me, is it intended to have email at all? Well, if we cannot, as technicians, make it completely automated, then it's not the intention to run it. I mean, there is no magic. There's no magic to the Freedom Box, other than the magic that we can do for ourselves also. So if you and I, if we agree that, whoa, email, it's too messy business. It's not possible to have it fully running by itself without maintenance. Then it's out of the game. We cannot offer that to our friends. Personally, the first thing I offered, I suggested that we try throw into the box, install into the box, sorry, would be Jabber, XMPP. XMPP is a chat, can be done without the need for handling spam. There's still a lot of challenges in it. It still needs a domain name. So you still have this problem of how do we tell our friends to go out and buy a domain name, and then then how do they connect it to their box, and so we're not done. But among the developers of Freedom Box, then not only is there that challenge, but there's also internally the challenge of when you then raise the question of how do we make our users register a domain name, then some of the developers says, domain names are evil. We should avoid the domain name system. And by the way, we should switch to IPv6 and all of us use onion addresses. Then we can start talking about email and JET and all of the other things. So we have more challenges even than the ones that we need to solve. We also have the challenges of letting go of all of our own itches to scratch, because it's not the ones we should solve for the Freedom Box project. Sure, we should solve them. We should solve all of these things, and also penetration of masquerading firewalls, which none of you have asked about yet, but that used to be the killer question for this one. And the answer to that is, well, we don't solve anything that geeks not already have solved. Freedom Box is not about any new inventions. It's about shrink wrapping what we are already traditionally doing among geeks.
Okay, thanks a lot for you asking all the questions, and thanks a lot, Jonas.